going to get higher than Joe Walsh. I'm going to get so high, I'm going to be looking down upon God's bald head. And when I speak to God, if he or she or them or it do exist, I'm going to say, hey, God, in college football, the BCS is bullshit. I'm Mojo Nixon. This is my weekly political talk show, Lying Cocksuckers. And the BCS is nothing but TV, major conference, lying cocksucker bullshit. I love sports. I love high school football. My son, the Cannonball, he plays on Pee Wee football. I love college football, pro football, and the BCS. We are being hornswoggled, bamboozled, lied to. It's not a bowl championship series. It is a fake, a sham, a mockery, a shamockery. It is complete and utter fabrication. We have no idea if the two best teams in the country are playing. They may or may not be playing. It is complete and utter subjective, non-scientific bullshit. Football, who plays who in the football championship should be decided where? On the field. On the playing field. Right now, in college football, there's what? There's one, two, three, four, five. There's five teams in major conferences that are undefeated. Now, how can anyone say that one team is better than another? You know, why is Ohio State atop of USC? They both have the same record. Why is Michigan ahead of West Virginia? Why is Louisville behind Texas, which has one loss? Friends, this is all complete made-up bullshit. There's two things that matter in college football. How many games did you win, and who did you beat? Who did you beat would be your strength of schedule. Who did you beat? You know, and if somebody beat you, who beat you? That's the only things that matter. This whole deal, BCS, you know, it's based, you know what it's based on? Feelings, hunches. Oh, I think Ohio State is better than USC. There's only one way to find that out, friends. Have them fucking play a game. Now, I understand. Look, I understand that you might put, you know, you might put Boise State and Rutgers, who are both also undefeated, below these teams in the big conferences. I understand it's clear that Boise State has not played the same people that Florida has. Florida's played a bunch of big, tough games. They're 6-1. They could be ahead of Boise State. I understand that. Same thing with Rutgers. Rutgers hadn't beaten anybody. But these teams all at the top, this BCS thing, friends, we are being tricked. The TV networks and the college presidents from the big conferences have tricked us into believing that there is really some kind of logical system here to get a champion. What happens, like they did, I think, what was that, 3 years ago with Auburn, when there's three undefeated teams from big conferences? What happens then? Well, one of them's out. So that's not a true champion. No, not at all. What happens if there's two or more teams that only, let's say one team goes undefeated, and then so there's two or more teams vying for third place, in the rankings. And they all have pretty much the same strength of schedule, and they all have one loss. Well, how do you pick one over the other? Well, that's where the polls come in. See, the polls come in, and people subjectively like one. People put Notre Dame up there long before they should be up there. People from the West like USC. People from the Midwest. See, the whole thing is predicated on a lie that we're going to have some kind of national championship game. You know, there's only two things that should decide. What's your record, and then what's your strength of schedule? And, friends, here's how you do it. Oh, you decided on the playing field of life. You want to have a bowl championship series? Then you incorporate the bowls in a motherfucking playoff. That's right. You pick, let's say you pick the best eight teams. What would that be? 3 weekends. You'd have 4 games on one weekend, 2 games on the next, and then a championship game. You incorporate that with the big bowls you already have. And let me tell you another thing when we're talking about college football bowls. Teams that are 6-6 and going to college football bowls, get the fuck out of here. You should be embarrassed. You should have to win 8 games to go to a college football bowl. Right now, I think 52 teams can be bowl eligible. 52 teams out of 110? That's bullshit. You know, what kind of competition is that? Half everybody gets to go to a bowl? That's bullshit, batshit, cockle-doodle-doo. That's not the cream rising to the top. The top third, the top quarter should get to go to a bowl. And the top 10% should play each other in a on-the-field playoff, winner moves on, championship to decide the national champion in football. See, Ohio State is at top of the polls right now because, one, they haven't lost, and two, they were put there in the preseason poll. The preseason poll is meaningless. Nobody has won anything. And Ohio State will not stop being number one until they lose a game. This, my friends, is complete and utter bullshit. The computers right now, the computers don't have Ohio State at the top of the list. They got Ohio State based on record and strength of schedule. They got Ohio State ranked number third. They got USC as number one. They got Michigan as number two. Hell, they got West Virginia as 14. But in the polls, they're number four. Oh, why is that? Oh, because they're in the Big East. Oh, they're in the Big East. See, this whole thing is fucked up all to be damned. And it's based on human perception. I perceive this team to be better than that. It's bullshit. Complete and utter, unmitigated bullshit. The BCS is bullshit. Doo-da, doo-da. The BCS is bullshit. All the doo-da day. You know, and they're going to talk, again, I get back, they're going to talk about, oh, Ohio State beat Iowa, and they were ranked number 13 at the time. They're not ranked now. The only time it matters is at the end of the year. At the end of the year, you can't say, oh, see, at the end of the year, if you say Ohio State beat a ranked team in the third week, they were ranked falsely under bullshit, human subjective measures. You can't rank anybody until you play six or seven teams to see who's any fucking good. As I said before, and I'll say again, the BCS is bullshit. It's easily fixed by a playoff system. That's right, a playoff system that incorporates the bowls. And you know, in college football, it's so crazy. They play the last games around Thanksgiving or the last week of December, and they don't play again for another 20 to 30 days. Again, I would like to say, this is bullshit. You got that dead zone there. You know, the NFL, well, they show some Saturday games in December. NFL give those up. The NFL's making plenty of money. NFL give up those Saturday games in December. Guess what you have? You have your college football playoffs. Yes. 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 I'm glad I fixed this problem. We'll get to Bush and Iraq in a few minutes. Mojo Dixon, lying cocksuckers.
Lying cocksuckers.
Is brought to you commercial free. Not because we're communists, but because no one has balls enough to sponsor us.
Lying cocksuckers.
Sirius Stars Channel, Sirius 102.
Friends, before we get to Bush and Iraq, I got one more thing on my mind. Do you go to the movies? Do you like a good movie? Do you love a movie that's wild, crazy, and free? You know the kind of movie that makes you feel alive? The kind of movie that damn near gets you in a fist fight in a bar after watching it? That would be Martin Scorsese's new film, The Departed. Oh, yeah! It's not quite Goodfellas, but it's maybe better than Casino. Woo! It's psychotic, funny, demented, deranged. It's a little long. It's a little long, but it's fucking better than 9 out of 10 other movies going around. You know, I mean, it's Scorsese. It's Marty Scorsese. Oh, it is good. And it's basic cops and robbers, you know, cops and criminals. And there's all kind of twists and turns about who's undercover into what, you know, there's both the cops and the criminals have a guy undercover in the other person's, group. Each group has their own mole. And they're ferreting each other out. And lots of shenanigans ensue. But I got to tell you, Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg, they fucking almost steal the whole movie. As psychotic cops who speak, you know, there's a certain kind of South Boston fuck you attitude. Oh, yeah, there's a certain kind of, you know, working class Irish guy in Boston who can say the word fuck about 5,000 times in a motherfucking sentence. And talking, it's unbelievable. I mean, Mark Wahlberg and Alec Baldwin are chewing the... They almost out-chew Jack Nicholson. Oh, you got to see it. Just for that part alone. You know, and DiCaprio and Damon, they're all right. I mean, they're no De Niro and Pesci. DiCaprio is no De Niro. But get who the fuck is De Niro? Who? Who's better than Bob De Niro, huh? Pacino, Brando, Mojo, You did see me in Butt Crack the Movie, didn't you? You know, and Matt Damon is who he appears to be. He's a, you know, he's a mook from South Boston. He's, you know, he's just playing himself. And DiCaprio is all tortured. I thought DiCaprio was better in The Aviator. That role suited him better. And I thought he was wildly miscast in, what was that one, Gangs of New York? Oh, no, he didn't stand a chance against Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis put on the motherfucking top hat and the curly bar mustache and started hacking shit up with them axes. You know, little old Leonardo wished he was back on the Titanic. Leonardo has been good. He was good in Aviator, and he was really good in Basketball Diaries. You ever seen that one? Oh, that's a good one, too. But back to the Departed. It's based on one of them Hong Kong gangster movies called Infernal Affairs. It is unfucking believable. You walk out of the theater and you want to kick some. You walk out of the theater and you're afraid you're about to be shot. Or you want to get drunk and kick some ass. Or maybe get some good, sweet poontang. Because, see, you know, nothing makes you feel alive like almost dying. I don't know if you ever had your life be in danger, but when your life is in danger and you say, God damn, I almost died. It's like going to a funeral. You go to a funeral, you know what you want to do? You want to fuck. Yes, you want to make the beast with two backs. That's right, you want to get in there and grind away your troubles. Mojo Nixon saying, check out The Departed, Martin Scorsese's new film, in theaters now. Sirius 102.
Warning. If you are weak, feeble-minded, easily offended, confused, bewildered, or a sanctimonious prude, you'd better turn the dial, because this is
Lying Cocksuckers
on the Sirius Stars channel, Sirius 102.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the war in Iraq, drone zone. I'm Mojo Nixon. This is my weekly political talk show, Lying Cocksuckers, because that's what politicians are. We're going to be going live again here soon. Oh, yeah, we might even be going more than once a week here soon. You want to send me an email? mojo@sirius-radio.com. That's mojo@sirius-radio. Oh, maybe you don't agree with Mojo. Maybe you want to have a little debate with the Mo Man. Friends, the war in Iraq. Drone zone. Here's a series of headlines from this week's newspapers and off the internet. Bush accepts Iraq-Vietnam comparison, though he's specifically talking about a Tet-like offensive before the election, and that's what they're really afraid of happening. You know, some big push against U.S. troops in Iraq right before the election. Senator Conrad Burns says he believes President Bush has a secret plan to win the war in Iraq. He's keeping it quiet because he didn't want our enemies over there. See, if you have a plan to win, you don't want to let your enemies know what it is. It's a secret plan. I'm sure after the midterm elections, Bush can tell us all about his secret. I wonder if Bush got that idea from Henry Kissinger. Says here, Iraq group will tell Bush to change course. Will he listen? James Baker, Iraq Study Group, won't release its recommendations till after the election, but inside information says he's going to have two option papers, one called Stability First, the other one dubbed Redeploy and Contain. The first option argues that the U.S. military should focus on making Baghdad safer while American diplomats work towards a political deal with insurgents. The second option calls for a phased withdrawal from Iraq. Neither one of them says a fucking word about victory in Iraq, let alone establishing a democratic government. Speaking of democracy over here in the United States of America, two U.S. Republican senators, Hagel from Nebraska and Warner from Virginia, say that we need a new Iraq strategy. Bush pledges to keep U.S. troops in Iraq. That's a headline right there. Cheney says, if you look at the general overall situation, they're doing remarkably well in Iraq. Rumsfeld says the terror threat is not exaggerated. Now, this is bullshit. There's been two attacks in the last 25 years. There was an attack in 1993, and there's another one in 2001. Two attacks on U.S. soil in the last 16 years. The attacks were 8 years apart. Rumsfeld goes, indeed, we could not survive another holiday from history. Listen up, Mr. Fuckface, Mr. Rumsfeld, Mr. You're going to be fired. I don't give a fuck what Cheney says. We could survive 50 9/11s. We could survive 50 9/11s. They're a terrorist group. They're not going to invade. They're not. America is not at her knees. As I've said before many times, America at her knees is the Russian army at the Mississippi River, and we're down to two nukes. That's America at her knees. 9/11 should be dealt with. In fact, I don't know, Mr. Rumsfeld, but the thing that I would do if I was, you know, running the Defense Department, if I was doing strategy up there in Washington and I didn't want 9/11 to happen again, I would go fucking find Osama bin Laden, you lying cocksucker. And finally, in headlines in the news about Bush and Iraq, at least two sources report rumors of a Bush family purchase of land in northern Paraguay. Did you get that? The Bush family has purchased a 100,000-acre farm in northern Paraguay. Now, who is it that, you know, retires to northern Paraguay? Would that be people who don't want to be extradited? Would that be, you know, ex-Nazis or dictators or just general bad eggs who give the Paraguayan government a whole bunch of money and then they don't have extradition treaties with the rest of the world? Oh, no, we don't know where he is. This is the best story out of all of them. Bush is fucked up so bad, he had to hedge his bets and buy land in Paraguay. I guess he's afraid he might be, you know, labeled an enemy combatant. You know, because once you're not president anymore, the new president, whoever that might be, could label Bush an enemy combatant and hold him forever. Hold him forever without giving him any legal counsel or any kind of trial or anything. Just put him away. And whoever the next president is, it sure shouldn't be John Kerry. John Kerry, you had your chance. I don't like John Kerry anymore, and I like George Bush. You know what John F. Kerry, you know what the F stands for? The F stands for Forbes. John Kerry's not a regular guy. John Kerry went to Harvard and Yale. John Kerry's married to billionaire women. John Kerry has never sat there and stared and go, I don't know how the fuck we're going to pay the bills. You know, should we pay the car insurance or should we get the kids' teeth fixed? John Kerry has never ever done that. Neither is Al Gore. Al Gore is the son of a senator who was in, Al Gore was vice president. Al Gore went to fucking Harvard too. Al Gore went to some famous, you know, Washington prep school. His day, you know, these are children of privilege, just like George Bush. Kerry and Gore should not be the next president. I don't know who should be the next president, but it shouldn't be either one of them. Kerry says he deserves a second chance in 08. No, you don't. You had your chance. The guy invaded the wrong country, and you couldn't fucking call him out on it. Senator John Kerry says he deserves a second chance if he decides to take another crack at becoming president. Bullshit. John Kerry is not the answer. Al Gore is not the answer. And friends, there's been a lot of talk up in Washington recently. A lot of talk up in Washington recently by people who are changing their mind about the war in Iraq. Now, I'm going to gloat a little bit right here. I was against it from the get-go. Saw there was no good, you know, there was no good military option in Iraq. Though we were tricked into believing there was one. Why? Because we let our feelings, you know, we were shocked and angry after 9/11. We were shocked that they were able to pull it off here in America. You know, we thought we would be protected a little better. We thought, you know, they just wouldn't be able to get it together to do something like that. We were shocked that those fucking buildings fell down. Seeing those buildings fall down on TV shocked the living shit out of me, you, and damn near everybody. We were shocked that it happened, and we were angry. We wanted to get back at them. Oh, yeah. We wanted to exact some revenge. And somehow we let these motherfuckers in Washington trick us into thinking Saddam Hussein had something to do with it. That Saddam Hussein was at least peripherally linked to 9/11 and invading him was a good idea. Well, it wasn't a good idea. And there's a little kind of retro thinking now. People are rethinking their position about Iraq. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, Iraq was a good idea It was just mishandled. You're hearing a lot of this now. Well, it was just mishandled. It was executed badly. There was poor planning. There weren't enough troops. There wasn't, you know, we didn't have enough determination. Friends, this is all complete and utter bullshit. Iraq was never a good idea. We could have sent all the fucking troops we had. We could have the draft. We could send 15 million Americans. Iraq is a bad idea. It had nothing to do with 9/11. Saddam Hussein was no threat to us whatsoever. He had no weapons of mass destruction. He was possibly something of a threat to his own people, but not his neighbors. He had already been neutered twice in the war against Iran, in the war with Kuwait, the first Gulf War. Saddam Hussein was not part of the problem in the Mideast. Saddam Hussein, I hate to say that, part of the goddamn solution. Saddam Hussein was the only guy that wasn't part of this kind of crazy version of Muslim theocracy. You know, Saddam Hussein's government didn't have any ties to local religious guys. Saddam Hussein didn't let religious nut jobs flourish in his country because they'd be a threat to his own power. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with the so-called war on terrorism, which should be the war against Islamic jihadists, not the war on terrorism. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with that. So by attacking a Muslim country that had nothing to do with 9/11, do you think we helped or hurt ourselves? We fucking hurt ourselves. And now we looked inept. Now we look stupid, foolish, and inept. We're over there in a quagmire, damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's no good options in Iraq, and it's somebody's fucking fault. Somebody thought Iraq was a good idea. It doesn't have anything to do with poor planning, you know, or troop levels or any of that kind of shit. Iraq was a shitty idea that had a shitty outcome no matter what we did. Short of nuking the whole country and turning into glass, this is what was going to happen. This is what was always going to happen. This is what happens when you invade a country. You invade a country, you occupy it, they get mad and they want you to leave. See, somebody along the way, somebody said, you know what? Iraq is a good idea. Oh, I think, you know, Rumsfeld was saying this the day after 9/11. That'd be 9/12. You know, somebody said Iraq is a good idea and we should go invade it. You know, for the safety of our nation, that Saddam Hussein is an evil tyrant. We need to spread democracy and we got to find those weapons of mass destruction. And what about those links to 9/11 and Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden? Friends, somebody sold us that good of bills. And now that somebody is going to have to pay the price. See, that's one of the problems of this here administration. Nobody ever gets fired. Nobody ever admits they're wrong. There's only one thing to do. Throw the motherfuckers out. Somebody needs to take responsibility for Iraq. Somebody needs to stand up and say, you know what? I was wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And now, not, you know, there's two lines of thought that are emerging in Washington. One is, well, it was just mishandled, poor plan. We could have, you know, it'd be much better, you know, had we had more troops over there and a better plan and whatnot. That's bullshit. The other one is, it's a matter of will. This is the canard that goes back to Vietnam. Had we just been strong enough, tough enough, had we just toughed it out, we'd win. Bullshit. We are not going to win a land war in Asia without, we could win in Vietnam. We could win in Iraq by killing all the Iraqis. And how do you think that's going to make us look? If we have to kill one in five Iraqis to win, you know, and we got to send 2 million troops over there and have ships and bombs and planes and just be in a constant state of ass kickedness. Oh, we could win that way. I think, what do they call that? Pyrrhic victory. That's what it would be. It would be a pirate. We could win in Iraq. We could have won in Vietnam. But we wouldn't, you know, win what? What did we win? How is victory defined? We've occupied a country, blown it all to bits, and now, you know, nobody can move more than 2 feet without us shooting at them? Is that really winning? Is that a victory? See, friends, our goal here, we got to keep our eye on the prize. Keep your eyeball on the prize. Our goal here is less terrorism. Our goal here is less Islamic jihadists attacking us because we're the big devil. There's two ways to get that goal. One is to isolate the terrorists, to get the moderate Arabs, Muslims on our side and within their own countries. Isolate the terrorists, show them to be the nut jobs, bombing murderers that they are. The other way to do is to hunt them down and kill them. Iraq didn't either. Iraq exacerbated both problems. One, we sent all of our troops and money that should have been hunting down Osama bin Laden into Iraq. Two, we killed thousands upon thousands of innocent people, collateral damage, in a Muslim Arab country. Why? No one can tell me. No one can tell me why we've killed all those people in Iraq. No one can tell me why did we really invade Iraq? I wish some motherfucker would pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and tell me right now, why did we invade Iraq? 877-9-SIRIUS. That's 877-9-SIRIUS. Or email me, mojo@sirius-radio.com. Tell me the real reason that we invaded Iraq. I wish somebody could tell me, because there's a lot of dead Americans. There's a lot of dead Iraqis. There's a fucking chaotic civil war going on over right there right now. And this fucking we can't leave Iraq because it'll become a safe haven for terrorists. Whose fault is that? Who is the idiot, Nimrod, fucking shit-heel retard who didn't see that coming? Who should pay the price for that? Iraq may have been mishandled. We may have sent not enough troops, but it was a bad idea from the beginning. It's not a matter of will. It's a matter of smarts. It's not a matter of being tough on terror. It's a matter of being right, efficient, smart, effective on terror. I'm Mojo Nixon. This is my weekly political talk show. Liar!